Have you ever heard of the term subscriptionitis?
I don't think that I have, but I can guess, I think, what it is.
Yeah, they're calling it the great subscription fatigue. So, you know, every time you sign up for something with your phone, sometimes you don't even realize it. Next thing you know, you have a subscription to something.
Yeah.
And they said that the average person spends $69 a month on these random subscriptions, and they have at least five of them.
I would say that my number is probably higher than that at this point. I was thinking about this the other day. What I pay for HBO, I can't remember the last thing I watched on there.
But sometimes it's not even just your streaming services, because I have all those streaming services too. It's other random things. So I have this thing that I do with my mom, because I find that sometimes she subscribes to things that she doesn't even realize she's doing it. And and like many people know, your phone will just sign you up. You somehow agreed. You checked a box and you're getting debited from a credit card that you don't even know you have.
Right. You're not paying attention. Right. It's small enough that you don't worry about it.
I go into her phone every time I see her and I remember. So I would say maybe once a month. I go into her phone, and it's a good habit, I think, for all of us to do. And I just did it right now myself. And you just type in subscription if you have an iPhone. I don't know how it works on the other one. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But you just go to subscriptions. So, Raven, go ahead. Grab your iPhone.
Okay.
Go to subscriptions. And you look for what you pay for.
So, I just go on regular search?
Yeah,
or
just
I
go
open
for search on your iPhone.
Okay.
And just write subscriptions. So, if I go to mine, I'm paying right now for Apple Care Plus. I don't know what that is, but it's $9.99 a month. I think it's if I break my phone. I also pay for Apple One, which is $25.95. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the difference between Apple Care and Apple One is. I think one has to do with music.
Yeah.
iCloud Plus, so I can have extra storage. I don't know why I need that, but that's an additional $9.99.
Yeah.
I pay for my Meta Instagram, like, to be verified, which is $14.99 a month. That I know. And I pay $14.99 a month for Life 360 so I can track my daughter everywhere she goes in her car.
You are going to laugh. Because
what?
Maybe it's just that I don't get them all through Apple. I only have one listed right now, and it's on a trial, and it expires July 25th. And in my mind, I'm freaking out, instantly giving myself anxiety, telling myself I have to remember to cancel Apple TV at that point. And I think I only have it because it came with the phone.
Wait a minute. That's the only one you have?
Yeah, I don't subscribe to Apple Music. You know I don't trust the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
I got too many secrets, AnnaZap. I don't trust the cloud here. For some reason, I trust it on Google. I got mad cloud on Google, but nothing on my iPhone. And then Apple One, pfft. Never heard of you. Get out of here.
Do you have music on your phone?
Nope.
So you just live in 1974?
No, I mean, I just go like on, you know, I would go to YouTube.
Cassettes.
YouTube. Thank you. Cassettes are cool again, though.
Okay. Well, FYI, if you're getting subscriptionitis, which many people are, and you want to get rid of it, do that quick tip and see. Or you can just live in the past, like Raven. That also helps.
I had Tribe Called Quest on cassette. Man, I had Ozzy Osbourne, Bark at the Moon.
My mom was signed up for Weight Watchers for 3 years and had no idea.
Wow. Yeah. That seems pricey.
Yep.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
Three news stories that are trending right now. You only get to hear about one, and Raven gets to pick which one it is.
Mm-hmm. Earned, not given, Anna.
It's all powered by NHTSA. You think a ticket for not wearing your seatbelt is the worst thing that could happen until you get into a crash, and suddenly a ticket doesn't seem so bad.
Yeah, okay.
Click it. Don't risk it. Paid for by NHTSA. Raven, are you ready for today's selection?
I am. Please lay it out.
All right, number one. A U-Haul trailer disappeared for 14 years and casually just showed back up like nothing happened.
Oh, those late fees are going to be bad.
Number two, man accused of using chainsaw to break into store to steal $12,000 worth of Pokemon cards.
You know what? Never show up to a knife fight.
Chainsaw?
I mean, forget it.
No.
I feel like a chainsaw is, you're well prepared for pretty much any situation. Yeah.
Correct, yeah. And number three, homemade cannon found in car after routine traffic stop.
You know what? Cops, man, just give it up every single day. You never know what you're dealing with. All that is interesting, but I'm going to go with the U-Haul.
Okay. After 14 years of being missing, a U-Haul trailer randomly ended up back at a store in central New York. Here's the employee talking about it.
What?
So when I opened it up, I'm like, well, that's not normal. And then I was looking for the license plate, and the license plate's gone too, so I knew something was up.
So they just brought it back after 14 years.
I love it. Cover of Darkness, you arrive, you're just like, you know what? This thing has been taking up space in my yard forever. What are you doing with that? Like, if it was in your yard for 14 years, wouldn't somebody report it? It had to be, like, hidden.
Like, where did it go?
It had to be somewhere hidden.
And Raven, you talked about the late fees?
Yeah.
For 14 years, multiply that by $30 a day, it'd be about $153,000. And then you have to add on the tax, of course. So that rounded up to about $165,000.
Wow.
This guy was like, oh my gosh, I accidentally borrowed this U-Haul 14 years ago and I put it in my backyard and now I got to bring it back. I could either just show up with the license plate off or I could pay $160,000.
Yeah, no, I'd be terrified too. I would have done the same thing, man. I probably would have lit the thing on fire somewhere.
Well, I think that a lot of people have U-Haul stories.
Yeah.
And I know my husband has a famous one that whenever he gets together with his frat boys, it's like one of the first things that come up.
What's that?
Remember when you and your fraternity brothers left a U-Haul on the side of the road and just left it there?
I choose to forget it, but yes, I remember.
What happened?
We blew up the transmission.
Nice.
And why did you just leave it there? Like, shouldn't you have called somebody?
We thought it was a rider, but it actually was not. Some guy that we rented it from bought it out and just rented it to us.
So a bunch of college kids found a random dude who gave them a U-Haul truck. You guys took it on a road trip and left it in the middle of the road somewhere.
Side of the road, but yeah.
And what happened?
I called the guy and told him his truck was exit 17.
I mean, at least you told him. That was it.
No, back in the day, man, you didn't even have a credit card on something like that, right? Like, you were just free and clear after that.
I mean, they're a bunch of 19-year-old guys on a road trip, and they rent a U-Haul so they could sleep in the back.
It's all illegal.
And they're just,
by the way, guys, love it.
Right. And then just like three states away, it just dies. And they're like, what are we going to do now?
Fantastic.
And they can't even call an Uber back then. So they just had to figure out somebody to come pick them up. And they just left it there.
I'm afraid I've always been a Penske guy myself there, Anna. I don't really roll with the U-Haul. But I tell you what, I did have a friend that his mom, who was, you know, when I was like 18, 19, his mom was, I used to hit on his mom. But
what does that have to do with anything?
Like her third husband ran a U-Haul dealership.
Yeah.
I can tell you that. And there's no way that they would just waive the late fees. Not his U-Haul dealership.
No.
They would have been looking to find that person.
And you should have just left it at exit 17. That, like
that's
the guy's
better idea.
Delta Kappa Epsilon.
Listen, again, 14 years again, you're right. You bring that thing back under darkness.
You know what? If you've got a U-Haul story, we'd love to hear it. 1-800-330-9999. What happened with the U-Haul? There's this story that's trending about this U-Haul. It's a mystery U-Haul. It just showed up after
magical,
being...
Magical, really,
yeah,
obviously.
It's like a magical school bus, but it's a magical U-Haul. Showed up after 14 years. Just in a U-Haul parking lot, came back, no license plate, no information, nobody knows where it came from.
It's amazing, too, because it's in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
It's like a time capsule. You come across something, and you're like, wait a minute, did we just enter a parallel universe? Is this like some sort of, you know, like, it's weird.
Don't you want to know the backstory? Like, who had that U-Haul
I'm
for
curious.
14 years,
sure,
right?
Sure.
Yeah. But I think a lot of people got U-Haul stories. And my husband, whenever he gets together with his fraternity brothers, they always laugh about this one because I don't know how they'd get in trouble, but
what happened?
We blew up the transmission.
So a bunch of college kids found a random dude who gave them a U-Haul truck. You guys took it on a road trip and left it in the middle of the road somewhere.
Side of the road, but yeah.
They just left it.
Why do people want to help college kids so much that they do dumb things like that? Right?
Like, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, think about what have to be involved with a U-Haul that you would just hand over to a bunch of frat guys.
Like, if you could imagine.
With no sort of like, you know, there's something attached to it, a contract or anything like that.
Now, my husband is part of Delta Kappa Epsilon, and it's exactly what you picture. Boys with T-shirts with no sleeves, hats on backwards, big football muscles.
Sure.
And they just roll up, 10 of them.
They're
like, hey, can we just have a U-Haul? We're going to sleep in it for 7 days. And they're like,
great idea.
Here you go.
You remember, Anna, one of the proudest things that I have in my life, like, listen, you know, you can find yourself in difficult situations. There's been movies made about things like Apollo 13, right? Gentlemen, I'd like to go home. And humans, they can overcome great things. I rented a Penske truck one time, 32 feet, and then I put a full trailer on the back of it with a car. And this whole thing was longer than a tractor trailer. And you know what I discovered instantly? I couldn't back it up.
Right.
I drove from the East Coast to the West Coast, 3,400 miles.
No reverse.
I never went in reverse, not once. Not once. I mean, tell me that wasn't some sort of accomplishment.
I mean, yeah, you must have been holding your breath. Like, I hope I don't have to reverse.
Listen, every day, there was a little bit of an anxiety. If you had to pee, you really had to think it through.
1-800-330-9999. Doug, what happened with the U-Haul?
Back in college days, a buddy of mine had his car upstate New York, and his transmission blew on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the car sat. And we had to, at the end of the school year, we had to go up and retrieve him. So we wound up deciding to rent a U-Haul truck. And at one point, I worked for a U-Haul rental place. So the place had lent me one of the U-Haul trailers without a contract. And it was supposed to be one of those local one day, you know, round town.
Yeah, yeah, something small, right.
Truck. We hook up to this thing. We're not supposed to be going upstate with this truck, especially with a trailer with a contract on it. We were moving. We were flying, and we found out that when we got there, we looked at the back of the truck. The whole truck was black. Turned out this thing had an oil leak. It was a old diesel engine truck. We used up, I want to say it was like two cases of oil getting back with this thing.
Yeah.
It was, you couldn't even see the U-Haul on the sides of it anymore. My friend's car was black. The trailer was black. And then I go to return it. I'm looking at the mileage. I'm like, we put no miles on this thing. My friend goes, oh, shoot, I took the speedometer cable off.
No!
Things got 0 miles on the thing. I had to crawl underneath this truck, put a speedometer cable back on it, and then drive it around and put a couple miles on it before we even returned it.
I mean, if you try doing all that now today, I'm thinking somebody's going to jail.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Tell me about it. It was like, what the heck is going on here?
Wild days, man. Wild days.
Stuff we did on that trip, in that truck. It was just, can't even say it on the radio.
Right. No, I believe you.
They could be hot. They could be cold. Anna and Raven play Am I Close?
We were so close! So close.
Am I close? This is when you think you know about something, but in reality, you have no idea about the specifics. Producer Justin is here to teach you all about it. Justin, what are we learning about today?
Today, we are learning about the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Okay.
It's that time of year when all the stars are getting their due recognition. Honorees this year have included Emily Blunt, Stanley Tucci, Josh Groban, Noah Wiley, and most recently, Miley Cyrus.
I like all those people. That's 5 for 5.
Mm-hmm.
I dig that. It seems like everybody's got a Hollywood star now. Though, Anna, it's not just always movie stars or whatever. Like, I mean, all sorts of people are on there.
I think I know a lot more about this than you think I do.
Oh, is that right? Well, 30 seconds for both myself and Anna to go ahead and explain what the Hollywood Walk of Fame is.
How long has it been around? How many stars are on it? And how do you get on there?
I don't know how many people are on it.
Oh, I know all those.
Are you going first?
Yeah, I'll go first. 30 seconds on the clock.
Go.
Okay. The Hollywood Walk of Fame, people think it's like an award that you win, but it's not. You get invited to be part of it, and then you have to pay for it. Mm. And I think it's like a significant amount of money. I think it's like I want to say it's like $10,500 to get it done, but it might be more than that. And they've been doing this since 1926. That's how far it goes back. 1926. There's approximately 1,234 Hollywood Walk things on it.
Mm.
And I actually just visited it couple months
this
ago.
This feels long.
And you want to,
it's got to be 30 seconds.
Oh, you're right. It is 30 seconds.
Right.
Sorry.
Okay.
I forgot to look at the clock.
You could have kept
almost,
going there.
Yeah. Almost like you're cheating there. All right. Yeah. I'll take my 30 seconds now, if you will, please. 3, 2, 1. Go. You're right. You have to pay to get on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. You are invited. It's almost like you're sponsored or whatever. And at that point, I think it was $10,000 100,000 years ago, though. I think now at this point, it's probably more like 40 G's to get your star on there. Some people's stars, they got to put back on there over and over and over again because people like to show up with a sledgehammer or whatever or beat on it. I have no idea how many people are on there. There's plenty of names that when you come across it, you're like, wow. They were awesome. And other names, when you come upon it, you're like, who?
30 seconds.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, you both were very close in certain regards. It didn't start until the 1960s.
Oh.
It was proposed in the 50s to increase revenue in Hollywood because they were kind of in a downturn. There was a drop in tourism and all that.
So they had to supplement their income. Thanks.
Yeah,
great,
so
Hollywood.
To drive up tourism, they decided this was going to be a good way to do it. And yes, you have to be sponsored to get on here. So someone has to sponsor you and nominate you. There's a big nomination process. And the sponsorship itself, it costs $275 currently just to sponsor somebody. And if you're accepted into the program, if you're accepted onto the walk, then you have to pay $85,000.
Oh.
85 grand.
Where did I get 10 grand from?
No, because it used to be. A long time ago, it was. I remember that number being a thing as well.
Yeah.
Half of that is for the star itself, and half of that is for like maintenance, like annual maintenance for the walk itself.
What kind of maintenance are they doing for $85,000 on a sidewalk?
Also, it's, you know, the Chinese Grumman Theater is like the famous point where everyone thinks about the Hollywood Walk of Fame. But when I was there the other couple months ago, like, what if you get the really stinky location a half a mile down in front of the CBD shop?
Yeah.
Because that's where I was at a red light, and I was looking at that one, and I was trying to make out who it is, because it was so dirty you couldn't even read it. And I'd be like, I'd be mad if I paid $85,000 for that one.
Right, you got bad location.
Right.
Yeah, it's all spread out.
Some stars some stars do get to choose their location if they want, like, a funny spot or an ironic spot.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Myers got his in tribute to Austin Powers. He was located in front of, like, an adult store. So, you know, some people can actually have some influence on where their stars go.
If I was to sponsor Miley Cyrus, do you think I'd bill her after? Who knows?
If you are buying new mutans, new underwear, new loincloths every 6 months to 1 year.
Loincloths.
That's the original underwear. Do you know that? The OG?
No.
It's the OG underwear is the loincloth.
I know.
Yeah. Congratulations. 6 months to 1 year is how long you're supposed to go between buying new sets of underwear.
I don't know what it is about a loincloth, but I just feel like anything could jump out at any time. So
well,
it just makes me uncomfortable there.
Right.
All right. So how long?
6 months to a year, you're supposed to be replacing all your underwear.
Is that all of your underwear?
Yeah.
Do you know how crazy expensive that would be? That's like nuts. That's like totally crazy.
There's reasons. Raven, producer Sophia, producer Justin, but most experts say that 6 months to a year is the reason that you need to replace your underwear for many factors.
Okay.
One, the elastic is stretched out. Fabric is thinning or becoming see-through.
Mm.
There's permanent stains and odors, which seems like should be number one on the list.
I mean, that's terrible. What, you don't do laundry?
Yeah, but sometimes you're...
I mean, listen, if something is not removable by your laundry, then you should throw that one out that day.
Yeah.
You don't need a time limit on that one. Let me just help you out with that.
Older fabric can trap sweat, bacteria, and oils over time.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants sweaty mutans.
No, I do believe, like, you know, things can get funky. There could be a little bit of bacteria in there, right? Okay, what else?
And the fresh elastic and breathable fabric helps with comfort and hygiene.
What's your oldest pair of underwear, Anna?
So my oldest pair of underwear is for nostalgia reasons. I don't wear them.
No, I don't need an excuse or a disclaimer. I just need to know a date on it. You don't wear them.
They're my wedding underwear.
Oh, okay. That's different. That's
why?
Like, you, I mean,
just a white pair of underwear.
Is it like preserved somewhere, like the dress?
Framed?
No.
You should have it pinned to the dress inside the preservation box. And here for the mausoleum, just these are right.
No. They're just a regular pair of white underwear, but for some reason I could never get rid of them, so I just have them sitting in my underwear drawer. They're just there.
I mean, I want to clarify on the fact, because, again, nobody in this room asked you to describe them. Just,
right.
You know, just we wanted to know how
there's
old.
There's a little tiny bow on the front.
Look, no, like, stop.
Okay.
Nope. Nope. Not comfortable with this. Sophia, oldest pair of underwear you own.
21 years old these underwear are.
Thank you. That is old, but you don't wear them, as you said. So what's your oldest pair of functional underwear? Because you're not playing by the rules.
I have some old pairs of thongs that I keep around because, like, I wear them for special, like, dresses and events and things like that.
Okay, so how old?
They're probably 7 or 8 years old.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Sophia, oldest underwear that you own?
I probably don't have a pair older than 2 years.
Right.
Well, because after
because she's,
they...
she's 22, she's still growing.
Yeah, I'm a grown girl.
Right, like, you're so young, right? Like,
oh, so,
if you still had old underwear, they'd be from when you were, like, 8.
Yeah,
right.
They
so
still have Ariel and the Disney princesses on them.
Right.
Like the day of the week ones.
Yes.
Justin, oldest pair of underwear that you own. Impress me.
It's got to be 15 to 18-year-old pair of Batman boxers.
Batman boxers.
Now, I keep those for a very specific reason also.
Yeah, because you're a superhero when you put them on?
You wore them
at your
wedding.
I put them on. Those are at the very bottom of my drawer, so that way I know when I get to that...
There's nowhere else to go.
I'm way past on doing my laundry, so I see that. And they're very uncomfortable. They're very loose. There's no elastic, nothing.
Right, nothing.
So by the time I see that, I say, I got to get to work.
You know what they are?
15 years ago, boxers, right? There was no jockey boxer.
There's no... It's a loincloth now.
Yeah. You're right. It's actually the definition.
It's
exactly where we were going.
Raven, your oldest pair of underwear.
You know what? I just refreshed all my underwear. I probably don't have a pair that's over... 2 years old, but for some reason I keep a backup stack of older ones. Now I never get there. I never wear them, but they're not my wedding underwear. I'm afraid they don't have a bow on it either. But for some reason I keep them in the corner of the drawer.
Who's got the oldest underwear and why? 1-800-330-9999. Do you have underwear money? They're saying that you're supposed to replace all your underwear every 6 months to 1 year. I think people got underwear that's a lot older than that.
Yeah, listen, if you've got like 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 pairs of underwear, okay, replacing it that often, maybe that's a good idea. I got stacks of underwear, lots of underwear. And you know what? It's not cheap. They're not giving it away.
When my underwear stores have the buy seven for like a deal kind
of
thing.
Sure, sure, yeah.
That's when I stock up.
Oh, yeah, so yeah, yeah. You're like, today's my day to strike.
Christmas time is really when I replace my underwear.
Black Friday.
Yes, exactly.
Underwear shopping. Where will I start at 4 a.m.?
Yeah, Victoria's Secret. That's where it'll be. Who's got the oldest pair of underwear? 1-800-330-9999. Eric.
I do have one pair that's probably like 3 years old, but because I just refreshed most of my underwear, actually. But I kept this one pair. I mean, I don't think it's selfish, but it makes my butt look really good. So yeah. Why would I send it away?
Right. It's bougie, though. Just replaced all the underwear in one shot. Good for you. That's an investment. Once I started buying pricier underwear, like, I mean, not for nothing, dude, at $30 a pair or whatever, like,
yeah.
You know.
It's so true, yeah.
Like, you got to buy them in bulk when they put the sale on.
You guys bring up a good point. Underwear may be the only thing that's more expensive for men than it is for women.
The older you get, the more pricey they get, but they are good.
They are good.
Joan, oldest pair of drawers you got, laid out.
Well, you're not going to believe this, but I have a good idea for everybody. I buy a month's worth of underwear, like 32, like maybe it's a six-pack. Five, six packs or whatever. And you only have to do your laundry once a month.
That's it.
Or sometimes even longer.
Because
the washing machine really does a job on the underwear.
Mm-hmm. So you do a single-use underwear? She's got a lot of underwear money.
I mean, you've got a large hamper, too, I'm guessing.
A pair a day. Sometimes two pairs a day.
Right, right.
Sometimes two when things get messy.
You only have to do laundry once a month.
I like to go two pairs sometimes, hot days.
And it makes them last longer.
Mm. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
All right, thanks, Joan. We appreciate that.
Big drawer to put all those things in. Right. Big drawer for your drawers. Yeah. All right.
All right, Heather, oldest pair of underwear you have right now?
I have to say a bra. I'm not a big panties girl. But bras, I have one that's literally 20 years old. Like, the underwire is coming out.
Wow.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Is that normal? How old are your bras, Anna?
No, I think a lot of people have really old bras. I have really, really old sports bras. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say at least 10, 15 years old. The regular bras, that's how you know. When the underwire pokes out and starts hitting you in your armpit, that's how you know you got to let it go.
Yeah. How about you, Davina? Oldest pair of underwear you've got?
17 years.
Nice. Why do you still have them and know how old they are?
So my grandmother, for my high school graduation, got me a Victoria's Secret gift card, which I did inadvertently open in front of everyone because I didn't know what it was. And she said, oh, there's lots of cute things there and you're old enough. So I bought a cute thing that is not comfortable to wear ever, which is why it survived this long.
Okay. Huh. Right. But in the right circumstances, it reminds you of grandma.
Your thong underwear bring back such fond memories of Nanny.
Thanks, Nana.
I love that you know that's what it is.
Right.
Oh, I know it's thongs. And then you said uncomfortable. I'm like, yeah, you buy thongs because you think that's cool. And then you put them on and you're like, wait a minute.
I'm supposed to walk around like this?
This isn't comfortable. I don't know how I did that for decades.
I'm going to do every day like this? Seems weird.
What were you doing when you were 14 years old? Dean Roy is very busy running for to be the governor of Vermont. He worked as a legislative page at the Vermont State House, and he decided, hey, you know what? I could do this.
Right. Yeah, I'm 14. I know it sounds crazy, a 14-year-old running for governor. But honestly, look at the people in charge right now. They've been doing this forever, and things still aren't working.
I mean,
you're not wrong in that regard. I love the fact that he was working for these people one day and the next day he is on television insulting them. That I like. I'm here for that.
In November, he's going to be the first candidate under 18 years old to appear on the ballot.
And I just looked up what the age limit was to run for governor. I figured out that there are none.
Right, there's none. So he's like, yeah, you know what?
Why not? Yeah. I need a job.
Yeah, in Vermont.
Let's do this.
It only requires you to have resided in the state for 4 years.
Wait a minute. Is that the only job that you can have if you're under the age of 15, which is the federal working age? Right? Like, you can be governor, but you can't work at, you know, the Burger Shack. Love it.
He made his own third party, the Freedom and Unity Party. Mm. And does he think he's going
to
win?
I don't expect necessarily to win. What I do expect is to start the movement and to get more young people to come in behind me and say, yeah, we also want to make change.
Said like a true politician.
Right.
100%. Yeah. Right?
You know what? All this does, unfortunately, I think, is allows the other candidates to speak about nothing about the actual election and just make funny quips about the fact against they're running against a kid. As long as they're relatively nice, most people will like them. They won't pay attention.
I'm like, this kid's running for governor. He was 14 years old. What was I doing when I was 14 years old? Where were we putting all of our efforts? Raven, producer Sophia, producer Justin, I thought about it. When I was 14, there was only one thing I wanted to accomplish, and it was just as important as becoming governor of Vermont.
What was that?
I wanted to master the dance routine to If. I can still do it. Here we go. Here we go.
I'm going to tell you guys a secret.
Yeah.
Anna has performed this for me about six times during our time as a show together.
Uh-huh. It's one of the things I'm most proud of in my life, and I was 14 when I learned it.
I don't think I've ever once requested it.
Guess what?
But her and her sorority sisters, right? This is the...
No,
you were 14.
This is in my living room.
She also has a routine she did with her sorority sister she's very proud of, too.
Well, I actually taught this to my sorority sisters when I got to college.
So there you go. So she spent her whole life prepping for that.
Yeah. Raven, how about you? What were you doing that was better than learning the If routine when you were 14?
You know what? I threw a party at my house specifically when I was age 14. My parents went away for the holiday. It was the first time that I told my family I did not want to go on the family vacation, terrible son that I am. Mm-hmm. And I threw a party at my house, and we burned down the deck on my house. I never threw a party again.
Raven was getting arrested and destroying his home.
This kid's
running for governor.
I don't think I got arrested that time, but I'll tell you right now, it was a messy situation, and again, no party, and everybody ate my Fruit Loops. Like, you know, my parents had stocked up the shelves, and I was so mad I kicked everybody out in the morning.
Yeah. Sophia, what were you doing at 14?
Mm. When I think of being 14, I think of the amount of Musical.ly's that my best friend and I made, which is now TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't leave the house without filming ourselves to some music background.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right.
It was 24/7.
Yeah, you were ahead of your time, though. Pretty cool.
You were.
Yeah, good job.
That's why Sophia does all our social media. Yeah. And also, speaking of social media, just for the heck of it, I'm going to film myself doing the If routine. And we're going to post it on our social media.
Again, nobody asked. Nobody asked.
If anyone needs a tutorial. Justin, what were you doing at 14?
I was getting my parents to drive me to every record store I could find to have the most complete collection of Led Zeppelin bootlegs possible.
That's kind of like Musical.ly, but, you know.
Yeah.
Where are they now?
In advance.
In a CD case.
Oh, you still have them?
Of course I do.
We should sell them.
Okay, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Right.
The clock is ticking. Are the pounds melting? The race is on to be fit by 50.
TikTok, time is running out for you to reach your goal, Boss Keith, of weighing 185 for your birthday on June 4th.
Which is in a week.
1 week.
So what was last week's weigh-in? 198? Okay. That's going to have to be a lot of weight in a week.
Yeah. So have you stopped eating? Are you still just drinking water?
There's no way to do that.
So here's the thing.
Not healthy anyway.
Right.
No. Boss Keith came to us on, I have everything written down as you can see, on April 15th, and he said that his goal was to be 185 by June 4th, his birthday, which was a healthy amount of time and a healthy amount of weight for him to do.
I thought it was completely attainable based on where he was at the time.
Completely.
Yep. He was 198.8, so you had to have lost about 13 pounds in 8 weeks, which seemed fine if you were committed to it.
Right.
As a man, should be able to happen.
It's true. Waters.
Yeah, you got down to 195, so you had lost 3 pounds.
That was fun.
Then you gained it all back.
Yeah.
And then you texted us randomly that your scale at home said you were 195 as if you wanted us to throw you a party.
right. I mean, that's just a flat number anyways at that point. But this did happen after that weekend where he said he went on an appetizer tour.
Right. It was delicious. Yeah. So many. Here's the problem with this week.
Mm. Oh, every week is a problem.
Yeah, but this week's more screwed up because of Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, right.
So I don't have the Monday reset.
Oh.
So Monday is when I get back to the vegetables or whatever.
Yes.
So I don't have the vegetables because Monday I still kept eating because it was the weekend.
What did you eat on Monday?
Well, I had a New York strip. And then I had tater tots.
I've never had a strip steak on Memorial Day. Like, to me, that doesn't say Memorial Day.
Like a barbecue.
Yeah, barbecue.
But typically, they're not handing out strip steaks.
Maybe not at your barbecues.
I guess not.
Yeah, we
I need to go to a better barbecue, I guess.
Don't worry. I had burgers, too.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Throughout the weekend.
And hot dogs?
You also consumed burgers and hot dogs.
No hot dogs.
Oh, good.
I had a prime rib one of the nights.
Nice.
What barbecue is this?
Let me ask you. Have you officially given up on being 185 pounds for your birthday?
Does it feel like we're going to make it? If I could be 193, That seems better.
Okay, so last week you weighed 198.
What do you think that? What do you hope to be today, right now?
I think I'm going to be 200.
No.
Well, the steaks and the beers.
Yeah.
And Memorial
Did you have potato
Day.
Salad?
I hate potato salad.
Me too. It shouldn't even be a real thing.
Right. I hate all of those things. Yeah. Anything with mayos.
Oh, I like mayo. Well,
you guys.
I don't like chicken salad. I don't like tuna salad.
Forget this. I mean, how do you represent America?
Yeah.
All right.
All right. So we have a talking scale here that we bought on Amazon. Uh-huh. And all right, Keith, as usual, is not wearing socks for whatever reason.
Right. And I'm in shorts. Yeah. Look, this shirt's a little heavy, though.
Doesn't That's look your heavy. Problem. Yeah.
If you didn't check your cotton layers, your thread count.
Your weight is 198.
Oh, wow. Man, you just can't get off that
same.
Number.
It's exactly the
it's
same.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's actually kind of a win.
It's anticlimactic, though. You can do anything when it's exactly the same.
So next week when we do the weigh-in, it will be my actual birthday.
Right.
So hopefully...
It's powering down. Yes.
So hopefully this week I'll keep it lean.
Right.
And we can be... At least 195 for my birthday.
All right, that's okay. We're going to reset the goal. So now from 185, we're going to just up it to 195. I mean, that sounds good.
That's fair. I think I can lose 3 pounds between now and June 4th.
Here's an idea. Just get rid of the goal and always be 195 to 198.
I don't
like that. Which is what you are.
Yeah. It's not great.
No.
So that's the plan. That's what we're going to do.
All right, we'll check in next week on your birthday.
Yay.
You guys is freaky. Some freaks out there, kind of. Nah, I guess not really.
I mean, don't judge, number one. Number two, if it's fulfilling for somebody else, hey, have at it.
Not for nothing. I agree with a lot of these things. What is a strange thing, out of the ordinary thing, that you find attractive on somebody?
Mm.
They came out with, of course, a list. And the list says that laugh lines, number one on the list. They like laugh lines, the wrinkles, like
makes
all
each
that.
Person unique.
I guess
it's
so.
Like a fingerprint.
Yeah. Unlike me, who just uses Botox to try to cover those up.
Everybody is trying to de-age themselves every day now. And there's certain women that, they're kind of letting it be natural. And I applaud that.
Yep. I'm not one of them. Girls wearing winter clothes. Girls wearing winter clothes.
Bundled up.
Very attractive.
Okay.
Okay.
According
to some people.
Yeah. All right.
And also on this list, coming in at number three, is men driving. Period. Just men driving
men
is hot.
Men are driving. Right, okay.
A lot of guys driving out there. Every time you look down the street, you're like, wait a minute.
We all got places to be. Right. Yeah. Everybody's got places to be.
So we asked on our social media pages at Anna and Raven, we said, what's a strange thing that you find hot?
Mm-hmm.
And Mary Jo wrote, when a guy wears his baseball cap backwards. I think that's one for a lot of people.
Past a certain age, too, still, huh? Yeah. Okay. All right.
Missy wrote, and this is one that I agree with 100%, and I don't think it's weird at all.
Mm.
A guy's arms. If you have muscular arms, and your t-shirt is just a little bit too tight.
Okay.
Strong forearms.
I get that you're fangirling on, the hot guys in your mind right now. But, where's the strange stuff? All this stuff sounds pretty normal, like you said.
Rick's into tattoos.
Okay.
That's not okay.
Yeah, again, not all that odd. There's nothing odd here.
Diana's into beards.
Okay.
She likes a guy with a beard.
Let me give you an example. I find it hot when my wife wants me to grill. I love it. I'm very attracted to her when she wants me to grill. And it's funny, she's in the kitchen, I'm outside. And for whatever reason, I'm like, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
This is my time.
This is
and my lady has put me in charge. That's a little bit weird. Because you like a chick that's got pinup tattoos. There's nothing weird about that.
Eric's into when girls paint their nails black.
All right, that's a little bit weirder for me. That's not on my radar.
Also, ponytails. He likes ponytails.
I'm not against that either.
I don't have a...
Eric, have you considered grilling? Have you considered that?
I don't know. I don't know if I have anything that's strange.
Yeah.
I like when I can see the veins in the forearms. Those are real strong.
It would be strange if you liked it when you could see veins, on their head.
Right.
Sometimes somebody, they'll get excited and there'll be, a vein on their forehead or temple. That would be strange.
I guess
on the arms,
so.
Not so weird.
I guess. David said when guys wear work boots... Work boots.
Again, not weird, I don't think. Dave likes a butch. That's what, okay.
All right, what do you find attractive about somebody, even though it's kind of weird and out of the norm? 1-800-330-9999.
Consider grilling. Consider it. Yeah.
What are you strangely attracted to? 1-800-330-9999. There's a list of the most common odd things that people find attractive.
Mm.
When women wear winter coats.
Okay. Yeah. That one is weird, but they're bundled up, I guess. All right.
Laugh lines. All right.
That makes sense to me.
Yes. I'm looking at our text message line at 1-800-330-9999. One says, a 5 o'clock shadow on my man. I like that. I like a little bit of gruff. She wrote, and a goatee. I don't like a goatee. When Paul grew out a goatee, my husband, we called him Evil Paul for a while. Yeah.
It's like his dark side twin.
Yeah. We have multiple people on our text line have made reference to a tractor or a forklift.
Yeah, again, I don't think that those are all that odd. Guys operating machinery or whatever, people operating machinery, I don't think it's all that weird. Hey, Alyssa, what are you attracted to that? Somebody else, when they hear you say it, they might think that that's a little bit strange.
A scar.
Yeah, okay, a scar.
It's got a story.
Yeah.
There's a story behind it.
I don't know if I've got a story behind it, but when I was young, I dated somebody, and I don't know, there was something. He had a scar, and he had a scar over his eye.
Yep.
And I don't know. He just seemed more masculine.
Right,
to me,
right.
Yeah.
You thought he was tough. You were like, you know, whatever it was that attacked this individual's face, it didn't defeat him. This is the kind of guy I need. It's an alpha thing.
It's true.
Yeah, protector.
On our text line here, it says, the way my husband's armpits smell. Do you also find your significant other's armpits attractive, Alyssa?
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Depends if there's a scar in the armpit.
Yeah, then it's fine.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, baby.
Jordan, tell us, what's that thing that you find attractive on somebody else, but if you told somebody, they might be like, what?
When my husband is like the dad of his friend group, if you know what I mean?
Oh, like when he's telling the other guys how to be better men?
And the responsible one.
Yes. It's attractive when they all call him for advice all the time. They're like, what do I do with this? What do I do with that? And he's always got the best answer.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan, my best friend Danielle is attracted to men that wear heels. She was obsessed with Prince. And she thinks a man in heels is so sexy. Like, you know, like the platforms. And we went to a 70s theme party back in January for
she
one
didn't
of
know
our
what
friends.
To do.
No, she bought them for her husband. He's already 6'1". He was like, 6'5".
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. Prince was like 5 foot flat footed and like wore a size 6.
No,
so
not
a little
Charlie.
Bit different.
Charlie was tall, but he wore them anyway because you know what? She bought them and she put them and said, put these on. And he said, okay.
Did it for his lady.
Yeah.
Penelope, what's that thing that you find hot other people might not agree with?
I really enjoy looking at a man's collarbone.
Oh.
All right.
I think a nice chiseled collarbone. I think it's pretty nice to look at.
I agree.
Who's got a sexy collarbone in show business? Who's got a sexy collarbone?
David Beckham.
Let me know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. He's got one, I would imagine.
Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. That fits. Yeah. I don't see Leo as a big collarbone guy.
He doesn't
Brad
have
Pitt,
a good, I don't think he has
guy.
A collarbone. And neither of them have collarbones.
No. I saw F1. He does this weird thing where he's stretching with his neck
does
against the bed.
Does he have a collarbone?
He's probably got a collarbone. He was wearing a fire suit, but I imagine there's a collarbone in there.
There's somebody I'm thinking of.
Channing Tatum?
Channing Tatum has a great
collarbone. Good collarbone. Yeah, Jason Momoa.
Awesome collarbone.
Oh, okay.
Right.
We've reached the pinnacle of collarbones. Thank you.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy?
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us and let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court is powered by Progressive Commercial Insurance. It can protect your small business with over 30 coverage options, an easy-to-use mobile app, personalized discounts, and more. Get a quote in as little as 8 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Discounts and coverage selections not available in all states or situations. Joining us is Sarah and Arlo. Sarah, what's going on?
Arlo and I have been married for a couple years, and we've been kind of getting our little cute apartment together now and stuff like that. And I am pretty freaking mad at him right now because I have been working so hard on getting this beautiful fish tank together for our living room, and I got home from work the other day. It's just gone, and he got rid of my fish. He said it was smelly or something, and I was like, okay, we don't have a lot of money. I got a used one, but like, he just got rid of them and didn't ask me, and I feel like that's so not okay.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Arlo, what'd you do with the fish?
Yeah, I mean, you got rid of her pets and you didn't ask?
it's not about me asking. I specifically told her, let me back up first. We live in a very small apartment. This was a cheaper fish tank, so it's not the self-cleaning kind. It needs to be cleaned often. If it's not cleaned, it stinks. It stinks really bad. I asked Sarah, hey, can you clean the fish tank? Hey, can you clean the fish tank? Hey, can you clean the fish tank? This was months and months. And I finally said, Sarah, look, if you're not going to clean the fish tank, I'm going to get rid of it. That went on for...
I definitely clean it at least once a month.
So she knew very well that this was a possibility of something that was going to happen.
Yeah, but what did you do with my fish?
Yeah, where are the fish?
Yeah, where are the fish?
The fish are no longer in the apartment. I'll say that.
Did you? What,
where do they go? Right. Like, did you kill them?
Did you kill the fish?
I didn't kill them, no. I gave them away to some local neighborhood kids.
And what, like in their hand? How did you give them the fish? Are you telling the truth?
Yeah, in bags, like plastic bags, like you would see at the fair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, mm-hmm. And you don't want to point out the kids to her because then she'd be like over there looking for visitation or whatever. It gets weird. There's a weird dynamic going on here, Anna.
Right. Did you give them my smelly fish tank with my fish in it? It was not that smelly. I'm definitely not a dirty person. I was just trying to make it homey. And then you gave my fish away, killed my fish. I don't know what you did with them.
Fish tank stink.
I was embarrassed to have people over. I went out of my way to not have people over because of that fish tank.
Yeah.
My daughter's room stinks, and I hate that fish tank so bad. And I clean it.
I had fish, and I had turtles and all that. And cleaning up after all that, it's a mess. And if it's not being done regularly, I understand. If you're the other person cohabitating in an apartment, too. On the other hand, I mean, if you cared for those fish, I don't know how long you had them or whatever. Obviously, that's a very... I wouldn't feel good about that either if I was her. So I don't know what you do here. You can't get the fish back, right? So what is it you want to do?
You just want us to ask the audience if he was wrong for getting rid of the fish after he had told you many times to clean the fish tank?
Yeah, but I mean, like, we're married. We should have made the decision together.
Okay, but he asked you to clean it out, to do something with it. And let me just...
And you didn't.
And for devil's advocate, just like Raven said, you didn't clean the fish tank.
Right.
Probably not as often as I should have.
Okay,
but still,
fair.
Where did my fish go?
Is an apology necessary?
Right.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
But where's the fish? All right, so Sarah and Arlo, they're married. They have a small apartment, and she got a fish tank, and the fish tank smells because she doesn't clean it properly often enough. And if you have a fish tank, you understand what that smell can do mm-hmm. to a small space. Sure. That is for sure. And Arlo said, listen, you got to clean this. You got to take care of this. Otherwise, we got to get rid of it. Kept saying to the point where finally one day she came home and the fish tank was gone. Gone.
Yeah.
He got rid of it.
She wants to find out where those fish went. She wants an apology, all those things. Arlo says, I gave them away to other ones of our neighbors, neighborhood kids and other people, and that the fish are okay. I did not harm them, but no. We're not bringing them back, and they're not your fish to visit.
What do you think? Was he wrong to do that? 1-800-330-9999. Jeff, whose side are you on?
I think that the husband should apologize. Obviously, the fish was something that the wife cared about. And obviously, if this pig was really getting that dirty, the husband's got a perfectly too good hands. He could have cleaned it himself. I was just thinking about if they're married and she really cared about fish, that would be something that they should have made a group decision about. And if she really cares, then he should apologize to her and realize he should have stepped back and thought about it first and thought about the consequences and the outcome of what he should have done.
Not asking is one thing, right? If you're, you know, it's your partner. Thanks for the call there, Jeff. Appreciate it. You know, on the other hand, Anna, as an animal lover myself, if I feel like animals are being neglected because somebody else doesn't have the time or is putting in the energy, I mean, it's totally fair that she could care about the fish, but also not be a good pet parent. Then I want to do what's right by the fish.
Where do you think the fish is right now?
I'm hopeful that.
Uh-huh. All right. On that note.
Okay.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. What if your husband threw away your fish? How would you feel about that? Sarah and Arlo have a small apartment, and Arlo could not stand her fish tank. Says it smelled. Constantly said, you gotta clean that thing. The whole place stinks. And finally, after an extended period of time, he gave her the warning. If you don't clean the fish tank, I'm going to throw it away. And that's what he did. He said he gave the fish to neighborhood kids, which cannot be confirmed nor denied.
You know, listen, it's a tough scenario. I hate to think of any time that your partner gets rid of something without your permission, right? It feels like a betrayal. It feels like, you know, it's not up to somebody else to make those calls for you. On the other hand, fish tanks can smell pretty bad.
They're so stinky.
And if you've had a conversation over and over and over again and you don't like the way that the fish are being cared for, sooner or later action can be taken, I think. And it's a difficult scenario.
Was he wrong to do it? 1-800-330-9999. Cindy, whose side are you on?
Oh, totally on the husband's side. That's disgusting. If you can't take care of it, then sorry. You gotta do something. That was a clear intervention, and I completely agree.
You know, I mean, if you warn somebody over and over and over again, and it goes on for a long period of time, I get it. Sooner or later, you do end up fed up.
This is like when I tell Dakota, my 7-year-old, that if she doesn't put away her toys, I'm going to throw them away, and then I throw them away.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing, except it's a fish.
Right. One's alive. Right. Not. Thanks for the call.
Oh, yeah. No. It's like, see you later. It's got to go.
Skylet, tell us, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
Her side. She's ridiculous. Who is he to just get rid of her stuff because it stinks? He doesn't value her, and she needs to run for him.
Verena, what do you think about this? Whose side are you on today?
Oh, her, 100%. Because I think he just changed the rules in the relationship. He didn't communicate last warning type of deal, which I think is also kind of a bit much. I think the best is, rather than finding a punishment, I would go for finding a solution. He fully acknowledged that the fish tank is not the quality that is self-cleaning. Get her a self-cleaning one. You know, like, find a compromise that way. But just basically kidnapping her fish and giving them away without any... That's opening up the doors for her to go, you know what? Next time I don't like something, it's gone, and I'm not going to ask.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Sarah, our audience agreed with you. Arlo, you could be upset. You could tell her 7,340 times to clean the fish tank, but you're going to have to ask her one more time. You can't just get rid of it. That's like it's a non-negotiable. That is something that you have to do together and something you have to agree on together. You can't make that decision on your own.
So I guess you just say sorry now that it's already over.
Yep.
Then I will. I apologize, but Sarah, we're going to be having a long, long talk if there's ever going to be any fish in our domicile ever again.
I feel bad for the fish.
But living things should have a decision together.
I feel bad for the fish if the fish were consumed in a terrible plot for their demise. I don't feel bad for the fish if they're off living in some other apartment having their best life with somebody that cleans the tank regularly.
Arlo, did you eat the pH. Fish? Tell us the
truth. I did not eat the fish.
Did you put it in like the gutter or something like that?
I don't want these details.
No.
I don't want
to
know.
No harm. I assure you, no harm came to the fish. I wouldn't be cruel to a living creature, but I'm so glad that stink is gone. I am so glad. You have no idea.
Okay.
Well, they're living on the fish farm. We're good.
Okay. If you have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
$1,400 is the jackpot for today's Can't Beat Raven. Jeremy, you ready to play?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, I would love to give you this money today. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, would you please leave the room?
You got it. Good luck, man. $1,400. He sounds all business, Dana.
I like it. All right, here we go. Raven's walking out of here. We got to wait for that door to close so he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. Jeremy, I'm going to ask you these 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer them. I bring him back in. He gets the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You feeling good?
I hope so, yeah.
All right, let's do it. Number one, Anne Hathaway was legally blind in her left eye for 10 years. She had surgery to fix an early onset cataract 3 years ago. She has many movies coming out this year, including the one where she plays Penelope, the Queen of Ithaca. What movie is that?
The Odyssey.
Number two, Oreo is releasing a limited edition cookie inspired by BTS. They won 3 awards and opened what awards ceremony this past week?
The American Music Awards.
Number three, Joe Jonas says he auditioned to be on The Morning Show but crashed and burned. The Morning Show stars Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon on what streaming service?
Lord, I have no idea.
Number four, Drake has 42 songs on the Hot 100 list this week, including the number one song. What is the name of one of the 3 albums that he dropped on the 15th earlier this month?
Oh, Lord. I don't know, ma'am.
And number five, country star Zac Brown married Kendra Scott. What does Kendra Scott do for a living?
Couldn't tell you. All wow.
Right. That's okay. Let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
2 out of 5 for Jeremy.
Not great. Let's see how I do. Here we go.
Number one. Anne Hathaway was legally blind in her left eye for 10 years. Nobody even knew. She had to have surgery to fix it. She had it about 3 years ago, and she's good now.
Yeah.
She's got a lot of movies coming out this year, including the one where she plays Penelope, the Queen of Ithaca. What movie is that?
Oh, wait a minute. Princess Diaries. No. 3?
No, it's The Odyssey.
4. Oh, that's
The
right.
Queen of Ithaca.
Right.
No,
I wasn't listening.
No, that wasn't right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's going to be a great movie. Here's the thing. You mentioned her, and I got so excited about her other movies that are out right now. She has 2 great ones. Variety, which is coming out, which is going to be awesome, or Verity, whatever it is. So good. Written by Colleen Hoover, who was a best friend of Stephen King. And then also Mother Mary. Go see it. Look it up.
Mother Mary, yes. Okay.
She's awesome.
I don't know about the other one. Number 2, Oreo is releasing a limited edition cookie inspired by BTS. They won 3 awards and opened what awards ceremony this past week?
American Music Awards.
Yes.
And they should open all award ceremonies. They're awesome.
Number 3, Joe Jonas says he auditioned to be on The Morning Show but crashed and burned. The Morning Show stars Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon on what streaming service?
Apple TV.
Yep. Number 4, Drake has 42 songs on the Hot 100 this week, including the number 1 song. That is the most simultaneous songs on a chart by an artist in history.
I'm not impressed.
What's the name of one of the 3 albums that he dropped earlier this month?
Iceman.
Yes. The other 2 are Habidi and Maid of Honor. Mm-hmm. Number 5, country star Zac Brown married Kendra Scott. What does Kendra Scott do for a living?
She's a jewelry designer.
She is.
Yeah.
Beautiful. All right. Jeremy, let's see. They have 8 kids between the 2 of them now.
I think that she was involved with a couple other cool,
she was married twice
people.
Before.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, hey, man, they look happy. Good for
they
them.
They sure do. All right. He beat you 4-2.
This is Jeremy, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, bro. $1,500 tomorrow, Anna.
I want to thank Tiffany. She supplied one of the questions that we used today. If you have an idea for a question, too, submit it at annaandraven.com.